So those are the opportunities that are for kids' church. Is that it? Am I ready for my sermon now? All right, good. Here we go. All right, so good morning. As you will know, if you were here with us last week, we are beginning this week the second in a series of messages about prayer. We're taking a look at a number of different kinds of prayer that can really help us to build a more vibrant, personal, vital prayer life with God. As we learned in Kids Church 2 weeks back, where we're also focusing on prayer for this season, prayer is basically two things. It's talking to God and listening to God. And that is really the basis and the fundamental start to all relationships. If you think about your closest friendships, your family members, you'll probably find yourself talking and listening, right, in relationship with them. Okay, so that's what it's all about. And at its core, this is what Jesus actually offers us with his life. He paid for with his life a relationship that we can have with the God of life, with the only ever one true eternal source of all things good. Right? That's what he paid to offer us. Not just a theoretical relationship, but an actual one where we talk and we listen to God, right? And just like a natural relationship between humans involves sharing of hearts, sharing of conversation, doing things together, that is the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us, although it may be on steroids because God is way bigger than we imagine him to be, right? But prayer, honestly, can sometimes be difficult for us. Right? There are some challenges to prayer. We can develop the same strange sense of pressure about prayer. You know, we can feel like, are we doing it right? Or we feel inadequate about it. Or we can get tongue-tied. I mean, that can happen in relationships, right? When you're talking about super important things, like deeply felt things, you try and talk about it, and sometimes you get tongue-tied because it's just so important and you can't quite get the words out. Or, you know, much like a husband and wife in the early stages of parenting, right? You've got all these responsibilities and household duties, and maybe you're working in different schedules. And, like, you know, you may really want to relate to God. You may want to connect with him, just like that husband and wife want to connect. But you're challenged by the, you know, just the distractions and the busyness and the responsibilities that are before you in daily life. And, you know, sometimes prayer can even become like this, like really never achieved end of a checklist that you keep in your head of things that you really want to do, right? Do you have that mental checklists of things you're trying to accomplish, right? So prayer can be on that list, and it can be like the source of guilt because it's never getting checked off and we really want it to. You know, as a church, we are actually fabulous at praying for each other, at like just listening to what our friends and our people in our church are going through, and we pray for each other, and we're doing great on that. In fact, we did this survey a number of months ago about different things about church health and how things were going, and we found out that we scored really high compared to other churches on things like, I know that other people in my church care about me and pray for me. Or I go to a small group and my small group members love me and they pray for me, right? So we scored super high on that. So great job, church. On the other hand, some of our lowest scores were in the area of things like, I find times of personal prayer to be inspiring. Okay, so I think there's a disjunct for us. Like we find it sometimes easier to pray for other people than we find it to maintain a relationship for ourselves with God. And personal confession time, I have to confess that as one of your pastors, I would probably mirror the average answer of our church, right? I love praying for other people. I love other people praying for me. I love praying, right? I'm so grateful for the prayers of other people. But it's often more challenging for me to dedicate time to prayer for my own relationship with God. I've had some periods in my life where that was great and working, and then a life circumstance will change, and then I struggle to find that rhythm again. And usually, here's a couple things that happen to me. There's one thing is sometimes I get in this place where I struggle with like distraction or just like a too busy list of things to do. Or sometimes I'll even feel like I'll go through a little time where I'm not sure if I'm sensing God or aware of what he's saying back. And that can be discouraging. But here's the biggest thing. Usually the times when I struggle, they have this common denominator to them. So if you want to know how God is working on me, one of your pastors, this is it. All right. So here's what I do. I begin in this really good way to want to pursue God. And I begin with this desire to grow closer to him and with this desire to build that rhythm of prayer into my life. And then somewhere in the middle of my sinful, broken nature, it gets all confused, right? It gets all confused. And what started as this desire, this really good desire to go and to really work on my relationship with God, it ends up getting twisted. And instead of being responsive, I end up feeling like it's really, I end up feeling responsible, like it's all up to me. So I kind of like put these up here, right? So these are the assumptions. This is the flow of how it happens when I get into a bad place with personal prayer. First of all, I start to believe this idea that it happens by my own effort or discipline alone, right? That prayer is like up to me somehow. So then the second point is, if it's to be, it's up to me, right? So it's all up to me. But then what happens is I am not disciplined enough or good enough at praying according to my internal standard of what I should be doing. And then I feel like a failure. And then I try to like flog myself into doing better. And then I just, it's this whole awful cycle that keeps happening. So, true confession opportunity for all of you. Anybody else been there? Right? With your prayer life? Okay. So this is why I really appreciate the point that Brian brought up last week about prayer, right? A vibrant, fulfilling, connected, life-giving, amazing prayer life is not entirely or even mostly up to you. It's not entirely or even mostly up to me. It was absolutely purchased, paid for, provided for us when Jesus died on the cross. And the veil between God and us, there was a temple, and in the holiest of holy places was where people went to experience the presence of God, and only one holy person get to go there once a year, and that's it. As Jesus was dying on the cross, the temple curtain that shut off the most holy place was ripped in two. This was a curtain this thick, woven. It was ripped in two from top to bottom. That is what Jesus' death has done for us. This is what it says in Hebrews 19, or Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 23. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. All right, so for the next couple of months, we're going to be focusing together on a total of 9 different kinds of prayer that have been helpful to countless followers of Jesus throughout history. These are both long-term prayer habits that you might consider developing, but they're also specific kinds of prayer that God might lead any of us into in specific seasons, right? So I hope that this is what I hope. I hope that these will not become another checklist of things that you're never going to get to, and they're going to build up like that previous kind of it's all up to you scenario that I got into, but that you would find actually one or two that you sense God's hopeful invitation to you personally in during these 9 weeks. So one that you connect with, two maybe that you connect with, that you feel like God is saying, I want you to do this because I'm going to help you do it. Okay, so find one or two of those and take a couple of months to invest in learning how to do them. How to do them, how to put them into your regular everyday life, okay? So you can go back and learn more once you have kind of integrated these habits, right? Maybe you're like me and you like to do new things every once in a while, and that's like your personality. So maybe you won't have a lifelong habit of one type of prayer or one type of Bible study. Maybe you'll have like a season of this and then you'll have a season of that. And that works for my personality and my development spiritually. So you can go back and try more, but for now, pick one or two, and I want you to couple it with something that you sense there's some hopefulness there, okay? Like God has given you hope that you can do this, okay? So that's what I want you to do. So to start out my sermon today, we're going to focus on a very ancient prayer habit, and the prayer habit is called the prayer of examine. I know it looks like it should be examine, but it's not. It's examine. I looked it up this morning. Officially, according to Wikipedia, it is examen. This is actually a Latin word, which means, as you might expect, examine. Okay, so this is a prayer style. And I'm going to have us watch this fun video just to get a feel for why this might be a helpful prayer style to you. And so watch, it's funny. You'll enjoy it. Can you pull the lights down for us back there in the sound booth? There we go. I think it's going to play.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
There he is, right there in the middle of the video screen. You missed him, didn't you? So, this is a really funny illustration, and I hope if you take nothing away, that you will remember this, right? It is really easy to miss something you're not looking for. Okay? So how many of you have been ever overcome by some aspect of the goodness, warmth, gratitude, awe of God ever? Ever in your life you've become aware of that, right? I have, right? So maybe you were out somewhere on a beach and you were watching the immense ocean, and you were kind of like overcome with the fact that there is a good God, and he is way bigger than I have ever imagined, right? And he loves, and he's beautiful, right? Maybe you were, as I often am, like you were in a time of singing in church, and a song came on, and it was like, it's like it like read your heart, right? And you are like singing it and you're meaning it, and there's God is in the midst of all that, and he's right there with you, and you're sensing it, and it's really great, right? And it can be kind of overwhelming, but in this most beautiful way. I can't tell you how many people I have talked to over the course of leading this church over the years that I have that like apologize because as they start talking about what happens to them during the singing worship, they start crying and they're like, I don't know why I'm crying. I'm like, I do. So, right? Okay. So that, and you know, maybe it's some other time, maybe you're praying and like you, like all of a sudden this Bible verse occurs to you and you look at it and it seems to be perfectly exactly God is like speaking to you out of the Bible, right? All right. So in church settings, we're going to refer to those transcendent experiences as the presence of God. The presence of God. Now God is always, 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 always present. But there are times when we become aware of it. Okay? So just like the dancing bear in the middle of the video that you were not aware of before, the presence of God is always with us. And when we experience it, a couple things happen to us. We're undone. We start crying, like I mentioned, and we don't know why we're crying, and we're kind of embarrassed because we're good stoic Midwestern people, and why are we crying in public and all of that, right? So we do that, or we might like just be like super excited for no, you know, whatever, however we react to that. So we do that, but we also long for more with everything in us. With everything in us, we long for more. Because as King David wrote in Psalm 16:11, he's speaking to God, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Okay? In God's presence, everything is right. Everything is as it should be. We are infinitely loved. We are not alone. We are guided. We are upheld. We are connected to everything that is important ever. We are changed from glory to glory. Those experiences, when we experience the presence of God, that is what changes us. Because we don't want to be less than that anymore, right? We don't want that anymore, right? God changes our desires. Just on a human nature, have you ever been around someone that just being with them, like, makes you more passionate, more joyful, more loving? Like, it's not like you stop being you. It's that they kind of inspire this possibility of you being the person you most want to be in you, right? I had that experience this week. I met with someone and she was just talking about her life, about her passion for Jesus. And it made me like the better me that I want to be, because I also want to be passionate for Jesus, right? So God is like that. Like when we get into his presence, it's like everything that we know inside our deepest desires to be and our greatest passion for good and like the person we wish we always wish we were, right? That person comes out because God made us to be that way. God made us to be that way, to live in dependent relationship with him. What some people put it like this, that there's a God-shaped hole created inside of each one of us. And one of my favorite songs recently by Audrey Assad, the chorus goes, "And I am restless, restless until I rest in you." Right? So we are made to not be complete outside the presence of God. That is how he created us. But the problem with us is that we have taken ourselves as a whole people. We have taken ourselves out of the presence of God. The Bible calls the way this happens sin, right? Our sin, our self-centeredness, our desire to go our own way, our desire to be enough for our own selves. Thank you. I don't need you, God. That has separated us from God's presence. But Jesus has made a way back for us. By his very life, by the very physical body he had that was shredded and nailed to a cross, he has made a way back for us to remove the barrier between us and God forever. There is never any other barrier that can come between you and God if you have believed what Jesus did for you and put your faith and trust in it. Never, ever, ever, ever. Right? God's presence is always with us who have put our trust in Jesus. His presence is always available. And there are countless Bible promises about this. I have put some of them on the back of your take-home little thing that we're going to get to in a minute, right? But here's the rub. Just like in that silly basketball video I showed, we are often completely unaware of God's presence, right? We are often completely unaware of it. And we need to learn to pay attention differently than we are. Because did you notice the whole experiment was all about, like, he told you what you were supposed to pay attention to, right? And because he did, you paid attention to that and you completely missed the moonwalking bear. Okay? So this way of praying, this examine, I've been saying it wrong all week, sorry. So this examine is a habit of prayer that helps you train yourself to pay attention to God. Pay attention to God's presence in the everyday life of your 24-hour periods, every 24 hours that you go through, all the events of it. It helps you learn to pay attention to God's presence, okay? So I want you to take out those little worksheets. They're like a little folded, golden-colored half booklet thing there in your chairs. And we are actually going to do a little bit of learning on how to do this, and then we're going to do it together, okay? So I want you to open the middle part of it. We're not going to go through all of the main ideas in this thing, but we are going to go through kind of the basic high points, okay? So first of all, what is the examen? The examen is both an examination of consciousness. I think it's... Oops,
being able...
Sorry. Going the wrong way. All right, so it's an examination of consciousness, which is our awareness of the gifts of God to us, of the blessings of God to us in the 24 hours that have just passed. And it's an examination of conscience, meaning it's an examination of our own hearts and how have we responded to God's gifts, to God's presence in our lives, right? It's both. The best thing I heard about this week is called, is a name for it. It's like rummaging for God. You guys ever been looking for the matching sock in a drawer, right? Okay, so you know it's in there, right? You know it's in there, but it's not immediately, you know, obvious to you. Where is that sock? But you just put it in there 2 days ago when you did the laundry. You know it's in there, right? It's like the prayer of examen is like that. God's presence is absolutely in all the details of our lives. Absolutely. His promise says that. But sometimes we're not completely observant of where exactly it is in there. Okay, so this is like rummaging for God. It's a habit of prayerfully reviewing the events of the everyday actual 24 hours of your life to become aware of the gifts of God to you in that day and to allow him to address your heart. Okay, it can be done in 10 to 15 minutes. It doesn't have to be super long. In fact, the shorter you can kind of make it as a regular practice, probably the more successful you're going to be in the long haul if you want to decide to do this as a regular habit. It can be done preferably at the end of your day, but some people do it at the end of their day and in the middle of the day, and some people only do it in the middle of their day. But you should have had some portion of a day so that you can examine it, okay? So you should have had some portion of a day before you do this. Why is it helpful, and why would you consider trying it? You may find this method of prayer, this habit of prayer, helpful if you want to become more aware of God's presence in your life, if you want to become sensitive and attuned and notice God in your life, right? If you feel far from God, a habit of this kind of prayer is likely to completely alter that perspective for you, okay? And it's going to train your heart to look for God. As happened to Brian and I this week as we tried it, it will make you aware of God's gifts to you in each moment of the day. This awareness will extend beyond the 15 minutes you spend doing the examen. It will extend into your day, and you will notice God's blessings more, which is good, right? He's been there always. You were just focused on other things that you didn't notice. So you might consider this if you are weary, if you're discouraged, like I sometimes am about prayer, because you feel like you're failing, right? You feel like you're failing. You're not enough for the things before you. You might try this if you have a tendency to focus on the problems and think it's your responsibility to fix them. Okay, you might try this kind of prayer. You might consider this method of prayer at bedtime if you tend towards worry or fear or feeling like, you know, you're waking up because you're anxious and you really want to center before you go to sleep on the hope and peace and goodness of God, because it will help you sleep, I promise. All right, you might try this type of prayer habit if you want to stop trying to fix yourself and you want to allow God to mentor and disciple and train you instead. If you think he's got a better version of what your life could look like, this would be a good habit for you. Or you might try this if you simply want to become a more thankful and joyful person. Okay, so that's the basic what and why, and now we're going to look at a bit at the how. I am not going to read, as I mentioned, this whole thing. This handout is for you to take home, and you do not have to do this. This is if you want to do this, okay? So this is the steps of what you could do. First of all, you could become aware of the presence of God. So step one is to just whatever you need to do to get your heart in a place where you are experiencing, believing, and knowing that God's presence is with you. Okay? It could be reading through some Bible verses. There's some promises on the back. There's a really excellent YouTube video that does it for me every single time. I put the little link for you on the back of there. You might read an article about the examen or somebody's experience with it. You might just be quiet and say, God, I'm here. I invite your Holy Spirit to come with me in the review of my day. Okay? And then don't shortchange that. Like, if all you do is get through that, that's good enough for the day, okay? Do not move on from there until you are in a place where you are hopeful and trusting about the presence of God in your life, okay? And then you're going to review the day with gratitude. You're going to go through your day, run through it, event by event, in order, asking God to show you what his gifts were to you that day, How was he present? How was he showing you his goodness throughout the day? You're going to notice them and you're going to express gratitude to God and just let that noticing make you thankful. Okay? And then you're going to pay attention to your emotions as you review the day with God. That's where some questions might help. Here's some questions. When did I give and receive the most love today? When did I give and receive the least love today? When did I feel closest to God today? When did I feel farthest away? What was the event of the day that was most life-giving? What was the most draining? When was I happiest today? When was I saddest? When today did I have the greatest sense of belonging to myself and to others? And when did I have the least sense of belonging? Okay? So you don't have to answer every one of those questions. These are just questions to get you thinking, what are the important emotions that happen today? And the reason it's important to focus in on this is because in step four, you're going to pick one of them and pray about it. One that seems important to you. Okay? So let's say as you're running through the day, you realize that, you were really impatient with your kids. Okay, I'm confessing now. You were really impatient with your kids at one instance through the day, and you feel kind of icky about it, right? So that is the time then you can select an appropriate way to pray. You can tell God you're sorry. You can ask him to help you. You can say, God, give me grace. How could I make this right with my kids? How do we restore our hearts to each other? Right? So you just talk about one event. If it's a great thing, like, oh my gosh, God totally did that. And I remembered praying for that like 2 months ago. And then I totally forgot I prayed about it. And look, he did it. So that's a gratitude prayer, right? You tell God, you're awesome. Thank you for making me notice that. Thank you so much for answering my prayer. Okay, so you just find one. It doesn't matter if it's negative. It doesn't matter if it's positive. Whatever the strongest emotion is in your day. And really, the reason why emotions are important is because God created us with emotions because they are a clue that something important is happening. Okay? We only have emotions during important things. We don't have emotions during lame and not important things. Okay? So if you have an emotion about it, it is important. Okay? And so that's what you want to press into with God. The next step is just simply to look ahead to the day tomorrow. You can ask, you know, look through your calendar if you want and, you know, your task. Just think through what's coming up tomorrow. What am I going to be doing tomorrow? Right? And then ask God to go with you through the day and lead you and guide you there. Okay, now the most important thing to do in this process is to set aside your right to judge your day and your life, okay? What you're doing is you're inviting Jesus, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to look at your day with you, and you're inviting him to show you what he wants to show you about your day. Now, if you're like me and you tend to be kind of perfectionistic and hard on yourself in your day, what you're going to find is that God is not as displeased with you as you are with yourself. Okay? And if you tend to like just, you know, be one of those people that kind of errs on the irresponsible end of the spectrum, you're going to find that Jesus has some things he'd really genuinely like you to change. Okay? So Jesus has a good perspective on that. You can trust his perspective on it. So I would encourage you to lay aside your own habits of what you think about your life and invite the Holy Spirit to look at your life with him and look at it through his eyes and see what he sees. Okay? So there we go. That's the end of the training. Now we're going to practice. Okay? So I have this little video that's going to lead us through this process. This is not, you know, I mean, it's a video. If it helps you, great. If not, that's okay too. This process, this five-step process I outlined, I actually like a little better than this video. Everybody kind of does their own take on this process. But if the video helps you, great. But what I want you to do is I want you to, as best you can, genuinely engage in this process, okay? You've all had 24 hours previous to now, right? I don't think you just appeared 5 minutes ago when you came into church, right? So you've had a life, you've had events that happened during that. So we're going to just look at them with the Holy Spirit, okay? So just press in and do this with God.
Being able to look at my day, my week, my month, my whatever period I was looking at through a new set of eyes in a way that did not have a judgmental ethic to it, but just an understanding ethic to it and watching the movement, if you will, towards God through the day or away from God through the day, and being able to assess that and really have peace with it in a way that I hadn't before. That was very helpful to do that.
In this session, we have the opportunity to practice the examen, or a review of the day. So we'll begin in the way that we're accustomed to beginning. I'll invite you to find a comfortable place. And as you find a comfortable spot in a chair or on a couch or even on the floor, you can be on the floor if you'd like, just whatever's comfortable for you. And then to take a position in your body that helps you to be awake and alert in God's presence. If you're in a chair, you might want to put both feet flat on the floor. Wherever you are, you'll want to have your back straight. You'll want to have a posture that helps you to be alert in God's presence, comfortable, not distracted, but not falling asleep. If you found it helpful to close your eyes, go ahead and do that again. And then I would invite you to look back over the last 24 hours. If you're experiencing this session in the evening, go back perhaps to yesterday evening, to when you were finishing up dinner and getting ready to prepare for bed. Go back 24 hours. Or if you'd like, just go back to the morning of the day that you're in. Go back to the moment when you woke up and remember what it was like to wake up. And then think about your day in all of the significant aspects of it. Think about waking up. Think about what you ate and where you were and who you were with. And just look at all the significant aspects of your day. But invite God to go with you. Pretend that it's the game film of your life that you're getting ready to view, but you're not doing it alone. You're doing it with God through the Holy Spirit, and you're inviting God to search you and to know you and to review your day with you and to show you things that you might have missed. So go back to the place in the day that you've chosen that would be a 24-hour mark. And then take a few moments to go back through all of the major events of the day, your meals, your work, your spiritual practices, problems that came up, decisions that you made, relationships that took place. And I'm going to give you a moment now just to go back through your day in the privacy of your own heart. And as you do that, ask God to show you, number one, where he was present with you and you might not have recognized him. Ask God to show you evidences of where you're growing and transforming and becoming more like him. And then also ask God to show you places where you might have fallen short. And as you move through your day, be thankful for it. Allow yourself to be thankful for what God has given you. Even the hard parts, even the parts that feel a little bit dark. Become aware of those things, but thank God for his presence with you in those experiences. Now, chances are that as you've gone back through your day, several things have happened. One, perhaps you have recognized a moment when God was with you and you realize that you didn't recognize it in the moment, but now you recognize it. And your heart is just full of gratitude that God was with you in those moments and you experience someone's kindness or an accident that was prevented or a wise decision. You now understand that that was God at work in your life. So in this moment now, go ahead and express your gratitude to God for being with you in those moments. And then maybe you were surprised to see that there were some places in your life where you really are growing, you really are changing, you really are transforming. Maybe there was a place where normally you'd be a little bit selfish, but you were able to be more generous. Maybe there was a moment when God enabled you to tell a truth that was hard to tell, but you were able to maintain your integrity in a way that was really good. Or maybe you're someone who talks too much and can be a little bit gossipy, and you notice that God helped you to contain some of those thoughts rather than putting them out there to be damaging to others. And so thank God for the emphasis or for the evidence that He's with you and He's transforming you in the midst of your life. And then you might have noticed a place that gives you a sting of regret because you noticed a place where you fell short, where you weren't as loving as you wanted to be, or where you were critical in a way that hurt someone else, or where God invited you to take a risk and you just wouldn't do it, or where you lied a little bit or shaded the truth and your integrity just wasn't there the way you would want it to be. And of course, as you experience those moments, there will be a sting of regret, a little bit of sorrow or grief, maybe even a longing to be a better person, to do it differently next time. But right now, go ahead and name that in God's presence. Confess it to Him. Say the truth about it. And hear God say to you, "You are forgiven." If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you might also want to ask God, is there anything I need to do to make that right? And how can I do it better next time? How can I follow you more closely next time? And then we close our review of the day by just thanking God. Thanking God for the day that He's given you. Thanking Him for His presence in your life. Thanking Him for His activity in transforming you. Thanking Him for what you learned by seeing those places where you fall short and determining that you want to do it differently tomorrow. Because the good news is that tomorrow is always coming and we have the choice to follow Jesus on the everlasting way. Amen.
There I am. All right. Thank you for engaging in that with me today. If you were here and you were encouraged and hopeful and maybe a little surprised by what you experienced during that time, then I would suggest to you that this may be a hopeful prayer for you to start doing daily. Okay, this may be a place where you and God are going to meet, and God is going to change your mind about what your life looks like, and He's going to take you away from your perspective that it's all up to you, and He is going to bless you and show you that He's with you. And so if that's you, go ahead and just try this throughout this week. Just try it. Just say, okay, I'm going to do it 5 or 6 times this week. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to commit to those 5 or 6 times and then evaluate at the end of that. Am I more thankful? Am I more aware of God's presence? Am I more like, is my life better? Is my relationship with God deeper because I'm doing this? Okay. And if it's not, then try something different. Okay. So, I would encourage you, like, this is all about God. Like, there are a lot of different ways to pray. And He knows your heart better than you know your heart. And He knows my heart better than I know my heart. And so God knows what you need. But I know that we all need Him. And we all need a vibrant relationship with our Father. Okay? So God will show you what is the right path of life for you. Okay? Just to close here, we're going to have the band come back up. And we're going to go back into a time of worship. So you can all stand if you like. I'm just going to put out there one final idea. If you take nothing else away from today, I want you to remember this, that God's presence is always there. And it's easy to miss something we're not looking for. Okay? So why don't you go ahead and stand up with me? We'll go back into worship. We're going to have prayer ministry available. So if you would like to pray with another person for any need you have going on in your life or any, physical healing, anything you want to rejoice with someone else over, the prayer ministry team will be right over here and we will be happy and pleased to pray with you.